The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.
Welcome to Local Flavor Live, a podcast about the food and drink scene in Baltimore. I'm your host, Lauren Cohen, and I'm back today with our food and dining editor, Jane Marion. Hey, Jane.
Yeah, well,
how are you? I have something I want to show you.
You do?
A member of our sales team, Catherine Walshak, she tweeted the funniest photo yesterday that I had to show to you. Look at this.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you see?
Yeah, it's a crab claw. Is that the middle of the street?
It's just literally, she was out
detached
walking.
Detached crab claw.
Yeah, she was out walking on the middle of the street, and she saw this crab claw, and she just captioned it, Baltimore, in all caps.
That is awesome.
I thought it was funny and just very fitting because we got copies of our crab issue in the office this week. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I wonder if a bird, like, picked that up from a crab house.
It would make sense.
Put it in the middle of the street or something.
So funny. I saw that and I was like, immediately, I have to show you.
Yeah. It's funny. I found something in the street yesterday, too. It wasn't food related. Well, I don't know whether it's a great thing or it might just be trash. I just saw a glint in the sidewalk, and I picked it up. It was a diamond.
What?
I know. A small, thin diamond. I'm not sure that it caught the light in such a way that it could be real, but I have to take it to the jewelry store. You're just reminding me now.
That's like the universe trying to tell you something. You know? Like,
maybe.
What?
I don't know. Isn't that so funny?
Where were you?
I was in Pikesville.
Uh-huh.
Nowhere that interesting. Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
Wow, there's lots of interesting things on Baltimore sidewalks, but I just saw that crab.
I mean, I live in Pikesville. Diamonds just fall out of the sky.
Maybe.
I'm right near Radcliffe and Jay Brown, so who knows?
Exactly.
Maybe someone dropped something.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, I'm excited to talk a little bit more about our crab issue later
for
in the
sure.
show. But first, we'll roll through some food news. This is making me kind of nostalgic because I remember we talked about the Brewer's Art Tavern on one of like our very first episodes.
Yeah, we did.
Of Local Flavor Live. Mm-hmm. And now it's finally open. So diners who are in the Howard County area can now enjoy all of the flavors and beers that we in Charm City have come to know and love at the Mount Vernon Brewer's Art. So the owner of the building in Mount Vernon, his name is Ryan Roth, and he is a local of Highland in Howard County, and he decided that he was going to open a spinoff of the Brewer's Art. So it's mainly, you know, it's a little more rustic than the, you know, very classic mm-hmm. old school building in Mount Vernon, but you know, when it comes to the food, it's definitely very similar to the menu at the flagship. So things like soft pretzels with beer cheese and mustard, the rosemary garlic fries. People love those.
Can't lose. Is there truffle in those?
Oh,
no?
Maybe.
I bet there is.
Yeah, but apparently they're just so addictive. I'm embarrassed to say I've never had them, but so good.
Quelle horreur.
And then grilled cheese with bacon onion jam, and they have bratwurst with the beer mustard. So lots of, I think, more pub grub style dishes,
yeah.
but still really approachable and really good.
There's not a lot in Howard County, I have to say.
Yeah.
A lot of the Howard County folks come to us to eat, so
mm-hmm.
it's kind of fun to see us expanding into Howard County.
Kind of a reversal of that.
Yeah, which
is great. And, you know, of course, there's 14 taps, and many of them are occupied by Brewer's Art beers, so look out for Beasley and Birdhouse and Resurrection, and they have cocktails and beer and wine, so it's
now,
like, you can't go wrong.
Are you still doing a beer a day? You said that was your resolution.
A beer a day?
Was it a beer a day, or
just
to drink more beer?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Just
okay.
more beer.
How's that going for
it's
you?
It's going. I feel like every once in a while I see, you know, something that really strikes me, like whether it's like a beer that's like colored different, like there's like purple beers now, you know. But I am trying. We still
a
have
beer
six
a
months.
Day. I guess that's so not you.
I mean,
I'm sure there are people who have a beer a day.
Exactly.
It's not a big deal, but
I wish I was that ambitious. But yeah, so it's going, and maybe I'll have to trek out to Highland in Howard County to try some
yeah,
more
for sure,
and make good on my New Year's resolution. And a little more local. So in Fells Point, we saw the opening of Saffron Grill. So this is, I think, really great timing. We've been talking so much about Broadway Market and all of the diversity that's in there. And Saffron Grill is an American Pakistani kitchen. So, you know, you can look out for the authentic Pakistani dishes like samosas and kebabs and tikka plates. But then also there's this whole burger menu that looks amazing. So burgers like, they have one called the Stroganoff Burger, and it's topped with sour cream and Swiss cheese and grilled onions.
And that's a lot of worlds colliding.
It is. And the Cowboy Burger with grilled mushrooms and bacon. It's a really beautiful space. I will say the space itself looks like it skews more towards the Pakistani side of the inspiration for the restaurant. So, you know, very, very comfy booths and linens and neutral tones and artwork on the walls. But it looks really, really cool, and it looks like it seems like it's a really great addition, especially given
the whole area is booming.
Yeah.
And you know, more is more. It's like the more people come to that area, the better these businesses will do. It sounds like the United Nations on a menu, though.
That's a great way of putting it. You should save that line.
Oh, okay, I will.
I love that. So lots of things happening in Fells Point. This one's interesting too. Jane, do you like Jimmy Buffett?
The man, the music?
Yes, the musician.
You know, I tolerate it.
Yeah. It's funny. My dad's like
when I'm in Florida and eating like a fish and chips in the Keys or something, a grouper sandwich, you know.
Yeah.
When the sipping strikes, a margarita.
That's but how I feel.
I wouldn't listen to it in my car.
It wouldn't be on like your go-to playlist.
Do you like it? Do you like his music?
Yeah. I feel like I grew up because my dad's such a huge fan. So like he would always have it on in his car. But
oh, funny.
Yeah. But people were freaking out on social media this week because the one of Jimmy Buffett's like restaurant chains is going to be coming into Harbor Place later this year.
Oh, geez.
I know. So it's going to be in the Light Street Pavilion in the Inner Harbor. And, you know, it's really just such a nod to Margaritaville and his vibe.
I mean, it just sounds so touristy.
Tourist trap, 100%. Yeah. But I think that, you know, people are really excited about it in that it might be one of the, you know, kind of indicators of another revival at Harbor Place. It's just so sad.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, to see what's happened. There's been so many closures there within the last year.
Yeah, they need something to re-energize it. If that key lime pie on the menu is green, I am out of there. You know, key lime pie should never be green.
Wow, yeah.
You knew that, right?
Yes, but like I'm wondering why does my mind associate it with green? Because limes are green. But
right.
Yeah. But no, it should be like that.
Like a custard, almost like vanilla custard color. Yeah.
Now I want key lime pie. It's so good. But yeah, I mean, so I think people were just excited because of the novelty of it.
Sure.
But, you know, hopefully it is an indicator of some revival there. You know, it's sad last week it was announced that Harbor Place had gone into receivership, which basically means the court turned it over to another firm after its owners defaulted on their loan. So, I mean, hopefully somebody comes in, swoops it up and, you know.
It's a great piece of real estate.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like, why can't that work?
Mm-hmm.
Hard to know.
Yeah.
You know, look what's happened in Harbor East where we work. It's, you know, 20 years ago, there was nothing here but Baltimore Magazine. So
it started it all.
Yeah. It feels like they should be able to do something with it. It's valuable property, waterfront property.
100%. It's kind of the lifeblood when it comes to tourism.
I just don't know if this doesn't really feel to me like Baltimore, though, you know, right?
No, I get
that there's water and, you know, but steel drums in Baltimore.
Also, imagine yourself, I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate, but imagine yourself walking along when they have all the beautiful Christmas lights and things in the wintertime, and then
maybe
it's like margarita.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, I wonder. I mean, but
the lighting of the menorah downtown and Margaritaville.
And then a bunch of like parrot heads with their Hawaiian shirts just heading to Landshark.
People in their Tommy Bahamas.
Right, exactly. I mean, to Jimmy Buffett's credit, though, that these restaurants, I mean, there are so many across the country that operate year round. So I'm sure they have some really beautiful, you know, ways of activating
it. It's like McDonald's, too. You know, it's like a beacon for people
to
see something familiar and know what that's going to be, like a Hard Rock,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah, like, which we have.
Which, wait, that closed.
Oh, we don't have anymore.
Did it?
I think it did.
I think it did.
Yeah. But, you know, so look out for that. It's slated to open late 2019. So I know fans of his music will just be all over it.
Your dad will be there.
My dad.
We'll have a party of one at least.
That's right. When I heard about it, I texted him immediately. So that's happening. And then, you know, it was really cool to hear some great chef news this week. So Dave Thomas of Ida B's announced that he's going to be cooking at the Beard House next week. It's, you know, such an honor, as you know, Jane.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, they're doing a special Juneteenth celebration where African-American chefs from all around the country, I think he was one of seven who were chosen.
I was going to say, you know, Dave Thomas, I think of him as our town's, you know, he's sort of like a Spike Jurdy in a way, and he's bringing back soul food. I actually don't know that I really understood what soul food was before talking to Dave.
Yeah.
And one of the things I learned was that, of course, the, you know, slaves got the, you know, scraps of things that were tasteless and sort of the things that nobody else wanted to eat. So soul food has tons of spices, you know, just to make things have taste. The, you know, sort of the distinction of the cuisine is that everything's super spicy.
Wow.
And that's why, because scraps, you know, either didn't taste good or had no taste. But he's really very big on local sourcing, on heritage cooking. His, I'm going to get this wrong, but a great-great-grandmother, I believe, is a former slave.
Wow.
He learned how to cook down in his grandmother's, I think it was North Carolina kitchen. And he's just a great chef. Doing something really unique in Baltimore that, there might be some other people trying soul food, but not quite at that level. So it's been a really happy thing to see him take off in the city and get some notoriety.
Totally. Yeah. And he's so deserving of this amazing honor. And I'm excited to see, you know, photos of these dishes that they're cooking. It sounds like it's going to be really an amazing meal. You know, and speaking of Dave Thomas, another, achievement that he achieved recently was he won Chopped. Remember that? I know you
reported on
it.
Yes.
So he and Jonte Bedingfield of La Food Marquetta.
Yep.
And now we have another contender. So Chef Jay Rolfing of Cunningham's is going to be on Chopped next week.
His episode is
going to be on Tuesday, June 18th at 9 p.m. So check that out.
Maybe they can train him because I interviewed both Dave and Jonte, and they know of each other, but I think it was Dave was cute. He said, if we had only known, we could have practiced together. They each did practice.
Yeah.
One of them told me that, you know, they had kind of binged watched the shows and that they noticed that, I think it was Jonte said, every time someone tries like the ice cream machine, they don't win.
Wow.
So stay away from the ice cream machine if you're listening, Jay. I know Jay from Linwood's, Linwood's day.
He's great.
Yeah, he's just a really talented cook and a nice guy, a dad, young dad.
Yeah, and I remember I was rereading your article, and I remember, you know, Dave told you that his wife, Tanya, said something to him along the lines of, like, don't be anything other than yourself. Don't try
to
achieve
something
that is not you.
Right.
Because then you know, kind of hurt yourself.
Right. You're not true to yourself.
Right. And you're overachieving things that you know, maybe think that you can execute in 30 minutes or however long you have. And then you put it in front of the judges and it's not your best work. So
Do you watch the show?
I do. Yeah every once in a while. It's funny. Like whenever my friends and I are just kind of hanging out, we're like, ooh, Chop's on, you know.
It's really addictive. I get anxious sometimes watching it. I'm like, hurry up.
How can you not? Especially when it's chefs that we're aware of, you know, like I can't imagine being at one of these viewing parties next to the chefs who, you know, we have no idea whether or not they win, but they do. And you're like freaking out, and you know.
And we have, you know, we had Brian Voltaggio.
That's right. Yeah.
We've had a lot of celebrity chefs in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that, you know, they're getting this national recognition. It's just kind of like a way to let the rest of the country know what we already know, which is that we have so much amazing talent here, and, you know, we're really pulling for Chef Jay. Hopefully next week we can talk about him being a winner. But, you know, if not, it still is just such a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, and they win, what, like $10,000?
Yeah. I remember you reported that both Dave and Jonte took their wives on trips.
Right. I'm glad you remember because I'm trying to remember what they each said.
Yeah. But yeah, huge accomplishment and, you know, all the best to Chef Jay. And hopefully everybody can tune in next Tuesday. And something else that I reported this week that was a really great story. So Carlene Goodridge, she's the owner of Lemonade. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No.
It's a small batch drink. She sells drink mixes and syrups and blends at the Baltimore Farmers Market and other events. And she is launching on June 27th at Fadenson, and she's going to be launching a new Liberian pop-up called Coal Bowl. Coal Bowl literally translates to cold bowl.
Interesting. Is she Liberian?
She actually has the best story. So she has a connection to Harriet Tubman, which is something
really
that's, yeah,
like so related.
Yes. So her maternal lineage, Harriet Tubman's husband John is like a great 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 uncle of hers.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? And so she was telling me, you know, it was such an interesting conversation. I was so inspired speaking with her. She really is like one of the most interesting female chefs I've ever talked to. She was formerly in the National Guard for 12 years.
Wow. Was she before Lemonade?
Yeah, so she's a veteran. She was in Texas, okay. And she moved to the East Coast because she wanted to be closer to family. She also has children, so she wanted to be a little closer to her family, and she just kind of, you know, she said she hadn't really visited Baltimore that much, but it was one of those things where she saw the food scene here, and she saw how everything was kind of growing and people were just kind of empowering each other and lifting each other up. And she was like, that's it. I'm moving to Baltimore.
We keep talking about this, how people fall in love with no necessarily a connection to the city.
Right.
And then they come and they're happily ever after. We were talking about Alison Robicelli.
Yes, and Nicole from Cashew Cream.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So funny. I was really excited to tell her story. So she has, you know, that Liberian ancestry. And then she was also telling me that her great-grandfather, maybe just her great-grandfather, was the former president of Liberia, William V.S. Tubman, also a Tubman name. And he was the first African head of state to be invited to the White House.
That's crazy. Somebody took really good records in that family. Did she talk about how she knew about all these connections?
She said it was recent. It was, you know, a couple years ago that she kind of, I mean, she said they were growing up. They had always obviously known the Tubman name. They'd known about Harriet Tubman. But, you know, it wasn't until fairly recently that they kind of, you know, found all of this out.
Like, this doesn't happen on Ancestry.com.
No.
Or with a cheek swipe.
Right.
Like, somebody really had to dig.
Yeah. Hard. But I think it's all to say that she really is looking forward to incorporating all of that Liberian heritage into this new pop-up. So Coal Bowl, I kind of asked her, I was like, so how do you describe this feeling, this, you know, movement? And she said, it's really a feeling of nostalgia. And, you know, it's kind of like when you, she used the comparison, when you make spaghetti and then you take it out of the refrigerator the next day and like the flavors are just, they've had that time to melt together. And, you know, when you heat something up, there's a new caramelization to it. She's so eloquent about talking about this amazing.
I'm getting hungry, Lauren.
I know. Yeah. That's how I felt after speaking with her. So, you know, that's kind of what she's going. So Coal Bowl is kind of that feeling, that kind of concept, I think.
She sounds like someone to watch for sure.
Definitely.
What an interesting story. I'm not familiar with Liberian food or if we have it here at all.
Right. So. She was telling me, she was like, I have been searching high and low for authentic jollof rice. This is just a specific Liberian dish that she just hasn't been able to find in Baltimore. So she's excited to serve that. And she's also going to be doing things like a traditional pepper soup, nut butter bisque with seared shrimp, and a deconstructed dish that she's calling Sunday, S-U-N-D-E-I. It's inspired by a meal that her grandmother used to make for her on Sundays, kind of for her to snack on as the big Sunday dinner was being prepared.
Oh, wow.
So that's a dish of cornbread croquettes and chicken gravy, cassava, plantains, and lots of spices.
That's a snack?
Yeah, exactly. but I am really just so excited for her. I feel so inspired after getting the chance to interview these amazing chefs who are.
You didn't talk about the $20 bill with her, did you?
I should have. You know, that's very timely, and I really hope it happens.
Me too.
Yeah. Crazy. I guess we'll have to see. But, you know, that was awesome this week. And I really do want to talk to you about our crab package.
Yeah, it crabs.
Is out in the world. We got our office copies in. It's going to be on newsstands next week.
Yeah.
But I love what you were saying a little bit about the inspiration behind it in your high school yearbook. So tell us about that.
So our cover story is a crab guide A to Z. So each letter of the alphabet is related to crabs in some way, like A is for apron, B is for bucket, C is for crab house, and on and on. You know, Lauren, because you're part of the food team, every year we write about crabs. Mm-hmm. And this is my fifth year as the food and dining editor. Not that you ever get bored of crabs, but, you know, I've written about we have written about the best crab cakes, the best crab houses. One year we did seafood, which also included crab. My first year here, I did a dummy's guide to crabs, sort of everything you always want to know
that.
About crabs. It actually won an award. Yay.
Yes.
But you kind of keep trying to think, spin crabs in, you know, some new way that's interesting for the reader. So I just started thinking, and I was editor-in-chief of my high school yearbook. And actually, the story goes back further. When I was – I have no idea why I went to Yale to interview. I didn't deserve to get into Yale, nor did I, but I somehow applied. And I remember sitting in their admissions office, and they had – like a dictionary, a yearbook dictionary. It was it had a dictionary theme. And so I basically took that idea to my high school and did a riff on that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wow, it worked out so
well. So the whole
well.
Issue has been based on the Yale yearbook.
Thank you, Yale.
Go Bulldogs.
That's great. Wow.
So anyway, yeah, so it, yeah, I worked really closely with our art director, as I always do, but she really drove it even more so this year. So for each letter of the alphabet, we talked about what each letter might represent. Mm-hmm. So for A, we just brainstormed and we had 5 or 6 ideas. X, of course, was admittedly a little bit more of a stretch.
Right.
X is for extras in this case, as in what to do with the leftovers. Q is for quench. We didn't have a million ideas for certain letters, but for many letters, we had a lot of ideas. And then we both decided we wanted a mix of recipes and diagrams, and we even have a DIY stain remover for how to get the crab spice off your white shirt, which you shouldn't have been wearing in the first place.
Exactly.
We talk about beer pairings, but each letter is represented just a little bit differently informationally. So I think it's a really lively, fun, entertaining read. And I'm already tearing my hair out for what to do next year, even though I have a whole year.
Right.
Let me know, anyone, if you have ideas. But hopefully our readers will love it. And I got to eat some crabs in the process, so that was fun as well.
Yes. I mean, it really is as equally as useful as it is entertaining.
It's so beautiful. That was the idea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Beautiful to flip through. The illustrations are awesome. And, you know, I mean, everything, like you said, the DIY stain remover, it's so useful. And your guide of what to wear, I loved.
And actually, I learned one thing. I thought I knew everything there was to know about crabs. But I did learn that, interestingly, on the Eastern Shore, they use a knife. They really don't use mallets.
Right. I read
that. It's just like almost like a hyper-regional thing.
Right. Do they like look down on the mallet?
I bet they do.
Okay. Yeah.
I get the feeling we'll have to ask our senior editor, Lydia Willever, who hails from the Eastern Shore,
right.
But I kind of get the feeling they do.
Uh-huh.
And then the mallet is this side of the Bay Bridge.
Right.
Now some people do use the combination, but I feel like the Eastern Shore people just use the basic knife, because the truth is the mallet, if you swing it too hard, it mashes the shell right into
that
the meat.
That was so interesting to read.
Yeah.
You can't damage that precious meat that you're
which
for.
Is the whole point. So the knife, I actually successfully used the knife for the first time just the other day.
Was it intimidating?
Well, a little bit. First I put the point of the knife straight up into the crab instead of putting the knife on its side. But once I had it in the correct position, thanks to the owner of Nick's Fish House, Jim Weisgerber, I, you know, just did like a swift cut to the claw and it broke open and the whole claw meat came out all as one piece. So I felt like that was something I was going to try again. That was actually a plastic knife, which was much more challenging.
Wow.
It's just not that sharp.
That's so satisfying though, when you just have that clean cut and it comes right out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up using plastic knives and mallets.
Oh, you used a plastic knife too.
Yeah, but just because it kind of helps you to first, like, primarily separate the crab.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just so interesting thinking that a mallet could be something that's just not, you know, that's a little sacrilegious in some parts.
Well, Jim told us, and I found this reassuring, he said there's no wrong way to do it.
I love that. It's true.
So I was happy to hear that, because I'm not sure I figured out the right way. But do you eat the little legs and things?
I eat the claws, but the little legs, nah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just never something. Because it's like, you already work so hard to get the meat out of the body of the crab.
So, yeah, the other day we were at Nick's eating crabs, again, for this video. And
Is this your best bite?
It is. Okay, I'm just segueing right into it.
I love it.
And usually, you know, we also had some steamed shrimp because you can never totally fill up on crab. But actually, the crabs were, I think he said they were larges, but they were so heavy.
Wow.
That, I mean, it was lunch, and I tend to be less hungry at lunch, but I had two of them, and I guess I also did a really good job. I was feeling confident in my abilities to pick. I was kind of full after two.
Wow.
Usually I need about four, and I'm still not really satisfied.
You still need something on the side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's interesting.
The crabs right now, they're just terrific, and the population's way up. So restaurants, you know, usually you have to call ahead, make sure that they have what you're looking for. But I think there's plenty of crab to go around.
Yes.
This season.
Oh, I'm so excited for this issue to go on stands next week. I feel like people are starting to pick their first of the season, and it's such a perfect resource, and it's so entertaining and just so in awe of it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So what was your best bite?
My best bite last weekend, I hit a couple of local festivals in town. I feel like it's the season for that too, as summer starts rolling up. I went to the Feastival festival. I had never been before, but it's this amazing fundraiser for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Oh, good cause.
Yeah, definitely. And there was so much great food there. But something that stood out to me was Duck Duck Goose had this, it was a cold salad. It was a cold lobster potato salad.
Yeah, of course it stood out.
Yes, it was lobster. So good. And it was perfect for that day. It was warm outside. It was at Sandlot, so everything was outside. I really enjoyed it. It was all different types of potatoes. There were yellow potatoes, purple potatoes, and then huge, huge chunks of lobster meat.
Wow.
Really.
And did
good.
You, was it like a flat fee to get in? How did it work?
It was, just one ticket price, and then everything was free at that point.
So that's actually impressive because, you know, I wouldn't think that lobster would be used. Like if I was the chef,
right?
You know, people already
doing something for a fundraiser.
I mean, I realize it's a fundraiser, so you know, you're putting out your best product. You know, it's smart.
But it's maybe
you're
not
doing it out of the goodness of your heart. Maybe people will, you know, find you that way and find your restaurant. But that's pretty luxe to be having lobster at something like that.
Right. I see what you're saying, though. Like sometimes lobster dishes aren't the best to like make in bulk or something
right.
like that. But with this, I mean, it was a salad. So they were dishing it out. It was really
nice.
Colorful, really good. And then
summery.
Yes, very summery. And speaking of summery, I went to Hunfest on Sunday.
Oh, fun.
I went to all the festivals.
Did you get dressed up?
I didn't get dressed up, but I saw all of the Huns. It was, you know, it's such a rite of passage, especially, you know, like if you haven't been,
totally.
Go next weekend or next summer. But I also had this amazing falafel wrap. Have you heard of Farm to Face Falafel? That's their name.
Farm to Face?
Farm to Face Falafel.
So I'm afraid to ask what the face part of that is.
I don't know, to be honest. Maybe it's like it comes on the farm and then you put on a happy face. I don't know. That was so cheesy. But I had never tried it before. It was so good. They made these wraps that had falafel, strawberries, peas, cucumbers.
Ooh,
I know you were on a strawberry kick last week.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
And a little bit of sriracha and honey drizzled. And
it was a little sweet.
Yeah, it was all wrapped up. It was so good.
Like spicy sweet,
yes,
it sounds
I
like.
Couldn't choose between the two of those to be a best bite, so I had to give a shout out to both. It was
really
good.
Were there any dogs at Hunfest dressed up?
So many dogs. Some were dressed up. There were also children who were dressed like Huns.
That's adorable.
That I loved so much. But it really is such a great season for, you know, getting out there and interacting with the community. And there's always a lot of good food that comes with that, which is lucky for us.
So I actually do have one more Best Bite, if I'm allowed to have two as well. I'm feeling competitive. So my daughter is going to Nepal for a year, and she has visited Nepal before, so she was the perfect person to ask to go with me to the Nepal House on Charles Street.
Wow, that's great.
So it was really fun. It was pretty empty in there, but maybe it gets busy later in the night. But anyway, we sat down, we looked at the menu, and she literally screamed, "Oh my God, they have momos." And I'm like, "What's a momo?"
Yeah, what's a momo?
They're basically dumplings. They look like dim sum. They have vegetables, they can have chicken. I think they can have lamb in them, and they come in like a wicker basket, much like a dim sum. They were delicious. We got the vegetarian ones.
Wow.
And she, you know, she said, "This is how I ate." And when she was in India as well, she said, you know, I would just get them and you would just, you know, they come like six to an order and you would just eat that would be her meal.
Oh, she's the best.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear all about her trip.
Oh, yeah.
Is she excited and prepared or more nervous?
Yeah, I think she's not quite there yet. She's living in March.
Oh, she's leaving. So okay.
She's not,
Oh, that's so exciting, though. And it's great that you had her as your companion to try.
Yeah, you know, you have to, Matt, we've talked about this. It's important to bring the right person to your food experiences, especially for the magazine, whether it's a feature or review or whatever you're taste testing. It's really annoying to take people to a steakhouse and then find out that one of them is a vegetarian or this one has a special dietary requirement. You know, I mean, I totally respect that, but then don't come with me to eat professionally.
Right.
I count on your opinion.
That's right. You know? That's right. Go with the right people. That's the best advice. Well, cool. Thank you so, so much, Jane. And I'm so excited for everyone to pick up our July issue next week, but this week is the last week to pick up a copy of our Pride issue. It's our June issue. So you can check that out on newsstands, and you can check out our food coverage every day at BaltimoreMagazine.com.
The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.